National Floor Covering can't wait to connect with our friends through today's community comment on 95.3 WBEV, powered by Daily Dodge.
It is 95.3 WBEV, and it is community comment here, and we are powered by Daily Dodge. And community comment is presented by Professional Floor Covering and Abbey Design Center at 713 Park Avenue in Beaver Dam. Visit their website, proflr.com. They are locally owned. Randy and his team are here to help you design the perfect space with over 1,000 samples of carpet, LVP, hardwood, tile, area rugs, and window finishings. It's so much more than floors. It's a wide selection of kitchen and bathroom countertops, cabinets, tile, shower inserts, and more. They will also do tub-to-shower conversions at Professional Floor Covering. Turn your standard bathroom into a luxurious spa with a tub-to-shower conversion. A tub-to-shower conversion can also drastically improve the quality of life for those that have trouble lifting their legs up and over the wall of a standard tub. And now, without further ado, we will jump into the action here. Here's Terry Bell.
Thank you very much, Jake. This is Community Comment on a Friday, and we're pleased to welcome Beaver Dam Mayor Bobby Mark to the show. A lot has been going on with the city, and we'll get caught up with City Hall throughout this next hour. If you'd like to join the conversation, we invite you to join us. You can call or text at 920-887-9595 or call us on the landline here at the studio at 885-4446. And Bobby Mark, thanks for being with us today.
Always a pleasure, Terry.
Great. Probably the biggest news that's happened since we last touched base is that the city has hired a new administrator.
Yes, I'm very excited. At our last Monday meeting, the city council approved the hiring of Larry Berkey. I can't wait for him to begin. He comes with such a strong resume, over 20 years of experience in municipal administration. His most recent job was as the administrator for Iowa County for the last 10 years.
Just west of the Madison area?
Correct, yep. Kind of southwest there, including Dodgeville, that area. Before that, he was the city manager of Platteville, which under his administration saw all kinds of growth and development. He also has been the administrator of the village of Mount Horeb and the city of Hillsboro. So lots and lots of wonderful experience in a lot of areas that are important to Beaver Dam. So we were really excited about his level of experience. We were also very excited about his level of education. He came to us with, he has two bachelors, one in public administration and one in political science. And then he has two masters, one in public administration and one in urban planning. And urban planning is one of those areas where we were looking for someone who had some training in city planning, because that's something that we felt we could use. So yeah, and he great communication skills, really emphasized his ability to build relationships within the communities where he has been working. I know his references just spoke glowingly of him. So yeah, just an absolutely outstanding candidate. We're very excited that he's going to be joining us. His first day is September 16th, the day after our interim administrator is done, and he has not decided, he and his family have not decided if they're going to be moving directly to Beaver Dam, but they're considering that option of moving into the city, and so we're really pleased and looking forward to his arrival.
It would seem his experience at Platteville might be the most directly applicable to Beaver Dam. I'm guessing they're similarly sized cities, and that might be an experience that would serve him well here.
Definitely. Platteville and Beaver Dam are very comparable. They also were facing many of the same issues that Beaver Dam is facing. They were looking at trying to do some downtown redevelopment. They were looking to develop housing. A lot of the same, similar situation to what Beaver Dam is experiencing.
Sometimes it helps to look at a situation through fresh eyes, as they say. And it seems he's spent his career in Southwest Wisconsin. Do you think that's helpful or maybe a liability as he moves to a different region of the state?
I actually think it's going to be really helpful, as you said, a new fresh pair of eyes. I know even just having our interim administrator, Jay Chambeau, who's been with us since June, he came with a wealth of experience and knowledge, and his experience has been all over the state. And he was able to see things that were happening in Beaver Dam. And sometimes he was able to point out maybe things we should consider doing differently. But a lot of times he also was able to point out, that's really good. You're on the right path. And sometimes that's helpful, too, to know that from an outsider's perspective, we're doing what needs to be done. So I like the idea of having some fresh eyes and some different experiences that will shape his view of Beaver Dam. But I know he already has spent a short amount of time here, and he really likes what he sees, and he's excited to come. And so I think it's going to be a great cooperation between my office working with him and the administrator. And he's, our department heads were involved in the interview process, and he was their first choice as well as the council's first choice. So, I think it's going to be great.
There's one matter that I think you can help us shed some light on, and that is the fact that his last stop, Iowa County, he was non-renewed. There weren't a lot of details, and when there aren't a lot of details, people tend to they'll fill in the blanks with maybe some theories or assumptions. Can you help us clear up exactly why it is that Larry Berkey was non-renewed as Iowa County Administrator?
Sure, I'm happy to talk about that. This was a situation that. So the hiring process started. We had a professional firm that aided us in the job search, and those people in accepting applications, they did research on the candidates as they came in, looked over the applications, called references, that kind of thing. So that organization, they knew about the situation with Larry, right away. They passed that information on to, we had a local, we called it the transition team. It was made up of myself as the chair. We had the two chairs of our city committees, our administrative and operations committees, plus the current and past presidents of the council. This small committee we called the transition team, and they helped decide what the process was going to look like, because we could do whatever we wanted in terms of the hiring process. So they helped shape the hiring process. And so that team got the applications early in the process, and they considered, the pros and cons. And they were made aware of the situation with Larry in Iowa County, and they discussed it and decided even at that point to move Larry's application forward. Then it went to the interview team, which was the most of the council. I think there were 11 of the 14 council members were able to serve on the team, and then also went to the department head. So all of these groups of people heard about Larry's situation during the hiring process. So it was not a surprise. It was not something that was not part of the deliberations in deciding if he would be our new administrator. What happened in Iowa County is in Iowa County they had three member full-time IT department. And while Larry was, and actually he had applied for the job in Beaver Dam before all of this happened, there was a data breach, a very large data breach, something like 3 terabytes of data was lost because of this ransomware, or I'm not sure what kind of technology, but there was lost data involved with a data breach. And the Iowa County supervisors, you can imagine, were very unhappy about that situation. And there were some accusations that perhaps the IT team had been negligent or hadn't done something they should have done. I'm not clear on the details there. But bottom line is the county supervisors wanted to fire this three-person IT team. And as the county administrator, excuse me.
You want some water? Okay, well, you take a drink of water.
Yeah.
So I guess to sum up, so it's and you can finish the story, but it does not sound like he was non-renewed because he was doing a bad job.
No. Bottom line is he decided to take the fall for it. Rather than fire all three of these IT members, he said, I'll take responsibility for what happened. It was on my watch, and I will voluntarily resign. So he just was non-renewed. And after 10 years is actually quite a long tenure for a municipal administrator. The average tenure is about 5 years. So he felt like he was ready to move on and was looking for new opportunities. And so he also felt that was better for the county to maintain their IT team and not have the entire team whisked away overnight. So...
Very good. Yeah. You are listening to Community Comment on 95.3 WBEV, powered by Daily Dodge. We're going to take a break here, then be right back.
Catch the Milwaukee baseball game this Sunday on 95.3 WBEV and listen for the Columbus Family Dental Mystery Player of the Game. Then tune in to the 95.3 WBEV morning show the following business day. Be the correct number caller when we ask who was the Columbus Family Dental Mystery Player of the Game. Get it right, and you'll win a pair of Milwaukee baseball tickets. Be sure to listen to 95.3 WBEV this Sunday for Milwaukee baseball's Mystery Player of the Game, brought to you by Columbus Family Dental.
Are you aware of who's making your healthcare decisions? Hi, this is Dr. Adam Forster with Columbus Family Dental. Healthcare is a very personal thing that requires careful thought and planning. These choices should be made by you and your doctor, not an administrator or an insurance company. At Columbus Family Dental, we're a local, doctor-owned clinic, which allows us to put your health and well-being first. Call us today at 623-5559 to schedule a free, no-pressure consultation to see if we're the right fit for you.
Now at Leroy's, your old-fashioned meat market in Fox Lake, Horicon, and Ripon, I'm going bananas for the boneless pork chop sale. Butterflied and plain or seasoned thick Iowa cut are only $2.99 a pound. Wow, there's more with this mini bone-free bonanza. Boneless New York strip is $14.99 a pound, and boneless skinless chicken thighs are $3.19 a pound. There's also fully cooked 3-pound packages of breaded chicken breast chunks for $9.99 each, while supplies last. And plain or seasoned chicken wings are just $3.99 a pound. The burger of the week is premium steak patty for $3.50 each. Brat of the week is 4 frozen French onion for $5.75 per package. The heat and eat entree of the week is Salisbury steak with mushroom gravy, potatoes, and mixed veggies. Get that for $7.99 each. Visit the Brat Fry in Horicon and the food truck in Cambria on the 23rd. Remember, no one beats Leroy Meats.
There's no better time than right now to take care of yourself. Marshfield Clinic Primary Care helps you stay on track with screenings and vaccinations, or to simply connect on your overall well-being. Visit marshfieldclinic.org/primary care.
This fall, there's only one place to be, Camp Randall Stadium. Wisconsin football returns with can't-miss matchups, including Maryland, Iowa, Washington, and more. From the first touchdown to jump around and the celebration of the fifth quarter, experience the traditions and unforgettable memories that make Wisconsin football so special. Single-game tickets are now on sale. Lock in your spot today by visiting uwbadgers.com or call 1-800-GO-BADGERS. Wisconsin football game day starts here. We'll see you at Camp Randall.
Hear what's going on in your community. Stay tuned to Community Comment on 95.3 WBEV, powered by Daily Dodge, presented by Professional Floor Covering.
And we are back with more Community Comment here on 95.3 WBEV, powered by Daily Dodge. Here's Terry Bell.
Thank you very much, Jake. We are talking all things Beaver Dam City Hall with Mayor Bobby Mark. If you have any questions or comments, You can join the conversation. You can call us or text us at 920-887-9595 or call the studio directly at 885-4446. Mayor Mark, there's a big development happening on the economic development front here in Beaver Dam, and the city council took action. Is this the last step in the process or one of the last steps in the process? This is regarding the big data center coming to town.
Yeah, last Monday, the city council approved a resolution recognizing, well, what we had to do, okay, our original development agreement with the company that's building the data center, you know, many pages and very detailed, had some specific language that we simply had to alter. So what we passed on Monday was just a tweaking of the development agreement. But what's really exciting is the reason why we had to make that change. What I think most people aren't aware is, I think many people are aware of the idea that the city uses what are called tax incremental districts, which is a financing tool that was set up by the state of Wisconsin many years ago. And municipalities can use these TID districts to help fund development. And TIDs are set up, and they're set up with a certain lifespan between usually 10 and 20-some years, 26 years, I think. And one of the rules that the state put on TID use by municipalities is that the assessed value of your TIDs, of your districts, cannot exceed 12% of the equalized assessed value of the entire city, because they didn't want your entire city becoming a TID. They wanted it to be used, you know, in specific ways to target specific locations in each community. And up until now, Beaver Dam has been very successful using TID financing to bring in new businesses and also to do redevelopment in the downtown and other areas of the city. So it's a tool we've used well, and we didn't want to lose that tool. But because the new data center is so large, it's you know, it's a generational project, not just for Beaver Dam, but for the state of Wisconsin. It's huge. That one project was going to put Beaver Dam way over our 12% TID cap. And that would mean for the next 10 to 26 years, we couldn't
you
have
You couldn't
any,
offer that care yeah, to anybody else.
Exactly, exactly. We would have been stuck. And so our representative, Mark Bourne, who's also joint chair of the finance committee, we appealed to him, and he was able to draft a bill, and he had some bipartisan support to modify the TID law so that the, when it came to these data centers, because these data centers not only are huge, but they tend to be assessed very highly, that they have a lot of value per acre. And so he proposed a bill that would eliminate the 12% cap specifically just for data centers and communities that were receiving these. And so far, there's only been three in the state. And unfortunately, that bill that would have changed the system for the entire state, was he was not able to negotiate that through the legislature. But he was able to get a bill that specifically targeted the two that are under development, the one here in Beaver Dam, and there's one in Port Washington. And so that bill was passed by the state legislature in July. And so we had to modify our development agreement to reflect that.
It has to be kind of exciting. It has to be very exciting for you to you know, get a development like this. The economy is changing. We are in a digital world now. And what does it say that to get a development like this? Of course, you know, smokestack sort of development is what has been the bedrock of a lot of communities for a long time. Are we seeing sort of a changing of the guard, so to speak, in terms of the kind of jobs that will keep cities like Beaver Dam going?
I think to a certain extent, although you have to be careful, because I think the idea that every community is going to have a data center, that I don't think that rings true. The number of huge data centers like the one Beaver Dam has received will be fairly limited across the state. There just aren't the locations and the right mix of infrastructure and natural resources that can accommodate these really large projects. But I do know that there are also other projects around the state for much smaller data centers that would fit just in like a normal sized footprint and would use a normal amount of power and water and those kinds of things, smaller, because that is the wave of the future. Every company, you know, uses servers, and they have backups, and they're, you know, as we go into AI, that takes a huge amount of server capacity. And so it's part of the wave of the future, definitely.
How many jobs will be created there, and what kind of jobs will there be? I imagine these are people with computer backgrounds that they'll be looking to hire.
Yeah, there's a range of jobs. For the size of the development, it's not a lot of employment. They have projected that they're building the first phase, and then if the economy and everything else goes well for the company, then there is a phase two that they would plan on building later. But I believe with the first phase, we're talking maybe 135, 140 jobs, kind of across the spectrum, because they will have an administrative office that will have, sort of office workers, that kind of administrative staff, and then a lot of technical people that work on the actual servers and things like that. So it's a mix, but a lot of good paying jobs, education required to be able to do them.
Certainly. Not much time left in this segment, but you mentioned environmental impact, and there is some concern about, you know, the stress that a development like this might have on natural resources.
Exactly, and I can understand that concern. The good news is that data centers are not new. They've been developing around the country for many years now, and because of that, there's a history of this industry, and a lot of the horror stories that took place happened in places where the municipal governments did not have a good handle on what was coming, that they either didn't do their due diligence, they relied on the companies themselves to reassure them that about what was they were going to be needed. I know that from day one of this project, before it was ever approved, our development board and Trent Campbell, our development director, was meeting with our city engineer and our city utilities director, who's in charge of water and sewer, that we had been working with Alliant Energy for over 9 years at this site to get it ready for some kind of business, whether it was a data center or a factory or whatever. So those questions of water and sewer and roads and power, all of those had been thought about long before we ever even had the name of some company that was interested in the site. So we did our homework ahead of time, and so we're in a very good position.
Time for a break for the news. You're listening to Community Comment on 95.3 WBEV, powered by Daily Dodge.
A game without a crowd is just a scrimmage. A performance without an audience is just a rehearsal. Without your presence, high school sports and the performing arts aren't possible. Ensure that these essential extracurricular activities continue to enrich the lives of students in Wisconsin. Purchase a ticket to your local high school's game or performance.
This message presented by the WIAA and the Wisconsin Athletic Directors Association.
Being a new mom is really tough, like accidentally leaving your keys in the freezer, tough. But one thing I won't forget, keeping my child up to date on vaccines, like the DTaP vaccine, which is the best protection against whooping cough. It doesn't just sound bad. The cough can last up to 10 weeks, and nearly half of the infants under a year old who get it are hospitalized. But the DTaP vaccine has been trusted for nearly 30 years, giving me one less thing to worry about.
Learn more about the DTaP vaccine at dhs.wisconsin.gov/vaccine-facts.
I'm
still going for it, even with higher stroke risk from atrial fibrillation and a regular heartbeat not caused by a heart valve problem. Over a three-year study, Eliquis apixaban tablets reduced stroke risk better than warfarin, and over 97% of Eliquis patients did not experience a stroke. A first stroke occurred in 2.9% of warfarin patients versus 2.3% of Eliquis patients.
Don't stop prescription Eliquis without asking your doctor. Stroke risk may increase. Eliquis can cause serious and potentially fatal bleeding. Don't take if you have an artificial heart valve, abnormal bleeding, or antiphospholipid syndrome. While taking, you may bruise more easily or bleed longer. A spinal injection increases blood clot risk, which may cause paralysis. Get medical help right away for unexpected bleeding or bruising, or back pain, tingling, numbness, muscle weakness, or incontinence. Aspirin products, NSAIDs, SSRIs, SNRIs, and blood thinners increase bleeding risk. Tell your doctor about planned medical or dental procedures. Learn more at Eliquis.com or call 1-855-ELIQUIS.
Hey, it's Stacy from Slumberland, Beaver Dam and Watertown. Stay tuned to my friends here at 95.3 WBEV, powered by Daily Dodge, live from the Slumberland Furniture Studio.
ABC News, I'm Sherry Preston. The raid at former Trump advisor John Bolton's home has been going on for more than 2 hours now, possibly in search of classified documents. ABC's Jay O'Brien with more from Washington.
Bolton had told our Jonathan Carl some weeks back on This Week that he was concerned about retribution because he and Trump had a very public falling out. Bolton wrote a book about his time in the first Trump White House that was very critical of the president. But we know that federal agents, according to sources who spoke to our Catherine Falders, did have to get a search warrant from a federal magistrate to execute this search on John Bolton's home. So it wasn't just some kind of a unilateral action.
President Trump telling reporters a short time ago he was unaware of the search, but he called Bolton a, quote, real lowlife. Fed Chair Jerome Powell saying in a speech today he has concerns about inflation still, but indicating the Federal Reserve could begin cutting interest rates soon. The world's foremost authority on famine confirming today it is happening in Gaza. This is ABC News.
Award-winning news you can count on. WBEV.
From the Daily Dodge News Center, I'm Terry Bell. The FBI is now investigating the death of an inmate at the maximum security state prison in Waupun last year. Online reports say Donald Mayer died of malnutrition and dehydration. He was 62 years old. Mayer's death was ruled a homicide and led to criminal charges against the former warden and staff members. Regional unemployment changed little in July. The Department of Workforce Development says Dodge County's jobless rate was 2.6%. Wisconsin's unemployment rate for July was 3.1%. A Madison judge is ruling the father of the Abundant Life Christian School shooter can attend her memorial service without violating his bond. Prosecutors accused Jeffrey Rupnow of letting the 15-year-old girl have guns in spite of her mental health struggles. A woman from Fond du Lac and her boyfriend are getting the maximum sentences for trafficking and sexually assaulting the woman's 12-year-old daughter in the back of a van last year. Ilya Antonio was sentenced to 34 years in prison yesterday. Juan Roja Mejia was sentenced to 40 years in prison. Another scam is making the rounds. Someone again is impersonating Dodge County Sheriff's deputies. We're told the scammer tells would-be victims they have a warrant out for their arrest, and they'll be arrested if they don't deal with it right away. Sheriff's Office says law enforcement does not call people and use scare tactics. I'm Terry Bell, reporting from the Daily Dodge News Center. Submit your news tips at DailyDodge.com.
Sunshine mixed with clouds at times and foggy early today with daytime highs approaching 78. Southwesterly winds 5 to 10 miles per hour. Chance of thunderstorms tonight, lows level off around 61. Mainly cloudy skies expected. Lots of sunshine tomorrow. Chance for showers 74. I'm meteorologist Jennifer Wojcicki on 95.3 WBEV, powered by Daily Dodge. Currently, it's 71 degrees.
Gruber Law Offices. One call, that's all.
They treated me like family.
They're actually people that you can depend on.
They made me feel seen. They really treated me like I was a part of their family, a part of their team.
They ask how you're doing, how you're feeling.
They're just so welcoming and so sweet and kind.
It's like family caring about another member of the family.
If you've been injured, it costs you nothing to see if Gruber Law Offices can help.
Summer just got a whole lot hotter with the WBEV 95K giveaway presented by Newman Pools and Hometown Glass and Improvement. Join us all summer long at any Brock Fry location from 11 a.m. to 1 p.m. and try to crack the code on our prize vault for your shot at winning $95,000. No purchase necessary, must be 18 or older to enter. One winner per household, one entry per person per stop. For complete rules and details and to find a complete Brock Fry schedule, visit DailyDodge.com.
From the biggest stars to the greatest moments, Behind the Bucks is Bucks history like you've never heard it before. Go behind the scenes of the Emmy-nominated Giannis documentary. Get the real story of the blockbuster trade for Damian Lillard. Hear the origin of Bucks in Six. It's all on Behind the Bucks on the Bucks Plus Audio Network, presented by Gallagher, your trusted insurance broker and HR and benefits consultant. Available now on Bucks.com/plus, the Bucks app, and wherever you get podcasts.
They keep you informed on the Dodge County landscape. We keep the inside of your home looking great. Professional Floor Covering welcomes you to the next segment of Community Comment on 95.3 WBEV, powered by Daily Dodge.
It's 95.3 WBEV, and we are back with more Community Comment. And before we jump back into that action with Terry Bell, wanted to remind you that McKinstry's Home Furnishings is a partial sponsor here for Community Comment, and they are celebrating Labor Day, getting ready to at least. They are in downtown Beaver Dam, and they believe that everyone who labors has made America strong, prosperous, and a great country. To celebrate Labor Day, McKinstry's is having a store-wide sale. McKinstry's Home Furnishings showroom is filled with sofas, reclining sofas, sectionals, and chairs at unbeatable savings, like Lazy Boy recliners starting at $349 and Love Seats starting at $699. Also, you can save big on Simmons Beauty Rest and Symbol mattresses. Dining room and bedroom sets are also marked down for this event. You can add the finishing touches to your home with pictures, area rugs, and accessories. McKinstry's offers you all the latest styles, always designed to fill your home with comfort and quality. Hurry in now and discover the Labor Day savings at McKinstry's Home Furnishings in downtown Beaver Dam. Sale ends Saturday, August 30th. McKinstry's will be closed on Monday, September 1st to celebrate Labor Day. And now, without further ado, here is Terry Bell with more Community Comment.
Thank you very much, Jake. We are talking to Beaver Dam Mayor Bobby Mark this hour about all things happening in the city that affect us. If you would like to join the conversation, by all means do. You can call or text us at 920-887-9595 or call the landline here at the studio at 885-4446. One big development, and this has been anticipated for a long time, is that we'll have a better idea come Monday night what direction the Beaver Dam Fire Station may take.
Yes, I'd like to invite everyone who has a spare hour or two to come by City Hall at 6:30 on Monday. We are having a special council meeting. At that meeting, we're going to hear the report from Five Bugles, which is a consulting group, a fabulous consulting group that the city hired to do a need study and to do an assessment of our current fire station and to give us recommendations going into the future of what would be the best to, you know, make sure that we continue to have a high quality fire protection program in the city. And in January, February, they came back to council with their first report, and basically what that report said is, after extensive research and evaluation of our current fire department, that building basically had outlived its useful life, more than outlived its useful life.
Built in 1959.
Exactly. Yeah. The same year I was built. So it's got miles on it. And that it would cost so much more to rehab than it would just to build something new. And so the recommendation at that point was you need to think about a new construction, whether it's at the existing site, whether it was tearing down the current fire station and using that site or putting it someplace else. That was the message we received in earlier this year. And so then we gave them the direction to go back and to look at GIS data, which is geographic informational systems, where they've gathered the data from our actual, you know, fire department usage. They looked at fire calls, specific fire calls going back, I don't know how many years, locations. They've mapped the entire city, looking at not just the like bird's eye distance from point to point, but actually if you take these following streets, how long exactly will it take you to get to a fire site? They've had reams of data that they put into this GIS system, and on Monday night we're going to receive the results of that study. And the point of the study was to come back with recommendations of, number one, should we build one big new fire station to replace the one we have now? Or, as we've talked about for decades, perhaps we need two fire stations, maybe one towards the south and one towards the north. It seems like much of the growth of the city has happened on the northern side. So that was the question, is how many fire stations and where should they be located? And the information that we'll receive on Monday is going to help us answer those questions. They're going to come back with their data, present all the data, and then give us their thoughts on the areas of the city where we should be looking to build the new fire stations.
And the bottom line is that what the aim is to make sure that firefighters can respond quickly to fires, and it would seem that the current facility is actually hampering firefighters' efforts to get to a call quickly.
Exactly. One of the things that we learned, I mean, I've learned so much about firefighting in this process, is that there are actually professional standards for fire departments and firefighters down to the second of how long it's supposed to take from the time the call comes into the station to the time that personnel are, told about, are made aware of the call. There's a certain timeline, and then there's a timeline from the time that the personnel receive the call to the time they're supposed to be completely dressed in their gear. And then there's another time where they're supposed to, from the time they are fully dressed in their gear till they get to their equipment. And then there's a time from when they get in the equipment to get to the fire. And they track those, and there are standards of, to be a high-achieving fire department, these are the times you should be within. And because our fire department is so, it's multiple stories and so spread out compared to where, we added on the equipment bay where we have the trucks and all the other equipment, that it's very, very difficult for our personnel to actually, get their gear on, get to the equipment. So they're hampered even before they leave the station.
It would seem that the facility is small, it's cramped, there's no adequate place for women to change because it was designed when there, only one gender fought fires.
There are just so many inadequacies of our current location that there's just no question we need something new. And then also the question of what we've also found is that because we are we have the kind of system where our fire department is also our first responder team. So a lot of our calls aren't fire, they're rescue or they're ambulance calls. And so tracking where those calls are coming from and where they have to go and what neighborhoods tend to have more calls, all of that is going to go into the decision-making process that eventually the Common Council is going to have to decide when all this will happen and then where it will all take place.
For sure. And what's happening Monday, these recommendations, these aren't the final decisions. Is the council bound by the recommendations the consultant makes?
Not at all. The council could say, oh, that's okay. We're going to stick with the old fire station. I can't imagine we would. Of course, the big factor is going to be funding. This is a huge project that will, I'm sure, will require us going to a referendum. And when that will happen, you know, that will be a council decision. It's not going to happen anytime immediately, because it's a big one and it has a lot of ramifications. But it is something as a community we have to face soon because of the deteriorating quality of the current fire station.
Certainly. So let's say that the consultant in the city and then the voters decide to shut down the 1959 fire station. What happens to that space? It's connected to City Hall. It's an L-shaped facility. Would it be torn down, or would some other use be found for that space?
Great question. We don't know. It would, you know, that would be the another step in the process. We have talked sort of tangentially about City Hall and how the needs for city government have changed dramatically since that building was built. But kind of going the opposite direction of the fire station, the fire, you know, firefighting has changed, and they need a great deal more space than was ever envisioned in 1959. But city government, our needs have shrunk at that location because we built the Watermark. So our recreation department is now located there. We built the new Department of Public Works, which is a beautiful facility. Well, we didn't build it. We remodeled it. And so our parks department and our Department of Public Works is there. So a lot of the staff that used to be housed in City Hall are no longer in City Hall. So our size needs, our space needs have shrunk. And so that'll be part of the conversation. But the city government could stay in that building. It's big and a lot of empty rooms, but we do just fine there. So that's not as urgent as the fire station conversation.
Very good. And so that meeting, the consultant will present recommendations 6:30 Monday night at the City Council chambers. You invite the public to come, and folks can also stream online if they're not able to leave the house at 6:30 on Monday night.
Exactly. And I just want to encourage people, for all city meetings, council meetings, committee meetings, we recognize that there might be a certain issue that you're interested in, or you might have a limited amount of time. So it's always okay to come on in, you know, come in late, slide in, slip in the back, because the seats are always by the door. Stay as long as you want, and then it's perfectly fine to get up and leave. You know, we understand that different people have demands on their time. So even if you can only come for the first half an hour and hear, you know, the big headlines, I just would encourage people to come on in. The more people in the community that have the information, the better we can all go forward and make, because this is going to be a big decision, and it's going to influence the city of Beaver Dam for, well, another 65, 70 years. So.
Very good. Time to do some business, then we'll be right back. You are listening to Community Comment on 95.3 WBEV, powered by Daily Dodge.
Find contest rules information for 95.3 WBEV and 1430 ESPN on the contest page at dailydodge.com.
Step into a world so fine, shiny floors that truly shine, tiles and wood you'll adore, get it all at Professional Floor. Showers, blinds, counters too, everything just like brand new. They've got what you're looking for, only here at Professional Floor.
Okay, full disclosure, we still don't sing here, but since I've got the mic, let me drop some knowledge. At Professional Floor Covering, we've got the best brands and styles for every project. Whether you're looking for cabinets, blinds, flooring, or more, we're here to make your home look amazing. Check out our showroom to explore our wide range of luxury vinyl plank flooring. Need a bathroom makeover? We've got custom marble and ceramic showers and countertops to elevate your space. And if you're thinking kitchen upgrade, our cabinet and porcelain tile selection is top-notch. Take a look online at proflr.com and stop in to visit us at 713 Park Avenue. Time to hand the mic back.
Slumberland, Beaver Dam, and Watertown. Our Labor Day sale is going on right now. We've got Sealy Posturepedic mattresses starting as little as $299. Our Safa Park queen-size Sealy Posturepedic mattress is as little as $499, or grab the pillow top version at $599. Save up to $800 on purple mattresses and power bases. Save up to $800 on select adjustable mattresses with Tempur-Pedic, Sealy Posturepedic, and Stearns & Foster's. Check out our amazing no interest for up to 72 months. Apply in just moments. Our Labor Day sale is going strong. Shop local and save big.
Beat the heat and the cold with JB Mechanical. Join the WBEV Broad Fry Friday, August 29th from 11 to 1 at JB Mechanical in Beaver Dam. Grab a brat and a drink for just $2. Enter for your shot at $95,000 in the 95K giveaway. And get this, you can win a free furnace or AC unit, your choice. The first 250 people also score $25 service coupons. Enjoy the Wi-Fi thermostat giveaway and JB Mech sponsored race cars on display too. Don't miss the fun. August 29th, 11 to 1 at JB Mechanical.
Jam by the Dam, tonight from 6 to 9 p.m. at Tahoe Park in Beaver Dam. Send summer out in style and enjoy free music from Tangled Lines. It's family fun and lakeside vibes. Bring your chairs, coolers, and picnic baskets. Jam by the Dam, tonight from 6 to 9 p.m.
With just an hour of time and a pint of blood, you help save up to 3 lives each time you donate to the American Red Cross Blood Drives. This is Ed Shellen of Columbus asking you to join us on Thursday, August 28th at the New Testament Baptist Church on Dewberg Road in Columbus from 11:30 a.m. to 4 p.m. So, please mark your calendar. That's Thursday, August 28th from 11:30 to 4 at the New Testament Baptist Church in Columbus. Be a good neighbor. Give the gift of life.
These are the happenings in your community. Thank you for joining this edition of Community Comment on 95.3 WBEV, powered by Daily Dodge, presented by Professional Floor Covering.
And we are back with the last segment for today's Community Comment. Here's Terry Bell.
Thank you very much, Jake, and welcome back to Community Comments. Still time to join the show if you would like to ask Mayor Mark a question or make a comment. 920-887-9595 to call or text, or you can call us here at the studio at 885-4446. A lot of other things going on that we haven't gotten around to yet. First of all, the library is now in its temporary home.
Well, it isn't open yet, but they are in the process.
Oh, that's right. They are moving. Sorry, my bad.
Yep. They are in the middle of packing and moving. If you go to the library's Facebook page, they post pictures. It's kind of fun to see the big pallets of books and everything that are going to have to be opened up. And they're showing the new facility as they are stocking those shelves. That will be open on September 2nd. So I think we're all looking forward to that. Kind of a different venue should be fun. And then, of course, at the same time that week, they hope to start work on the library itself for the remodeling. And that's going to be an exciting process. Again, something that hasn't been touched since the 1980s, getting a much-needed facelift and updating. So the construction it'll be fun to follow that process.
And people will be able to start going into the temporary location in September.
Yep, September 2nd. I know that was the projected start date, and they're still on target to open on September 2nd. So
day after Labor Day, I believe.
Yep.
Or is it Labor Day?
Day after. So it's the same. It's the first day of school.
Oh, yeah, appropriate.
Yeah.
For sure. Okay. The construction on the middle school is coming along.
It is. And again, you know, the middle school, that is a school district project, a different government entity. But we work closely with the school district. And I just know I haven't sat in on the meetings, but there have been meetings with the city engineer, the city's utilities director, and the city administrator, working with district staff, talking about safe access for students, talking about, you know, streets and roads and water and sewer and right-of-ways and easements and all those kinds of things that are necessary as they're planning this huge project. But again, I just think it's really exciting to see it going forward. I know the school district is in the middle of the design process. I think they're just about getting ready to release some of their preliminary designs for the actual middle school, not just conceptual, but, you know, the designs that they're landing on. So just an exciting time for the school district.
You know, I'm still relatively new, and maybe this is old information for a lot of people, but what becomes of the current middle school?
The current middle school, I believe they're accepting inquiries as to developers who would be interested in purchasing the building. I think their greatest hope is that someone will purchase the building and remodel it for some kind of housing. I know the city would love to see that space used for housing. If need be, the district has talked about if they have to tear down the building and offer the site as a bare site for development, that would be okay too. But yeah, we're fingers crossed. We're hoping we'll find some developer that will want to work with us to get some housing in that beautiful central location.
The city is working with the Department of Natural Resources on upgrading the paths at Swan City Park. And that's been a matter of a little bit of debate. You know, some people question whether Swan Park needs new paths, and other people make a very persuasive case that, in fact, Swan City Park needs new paths.
Right. We last month we received a large $739,000 state stewardship grant to help us continue the updating of Swan Park. It is a matching grant, which means that the city and the Friends of Swan Park, our partners, our local partners, have to come up with that much money to receive the grant, to accept the grant. And we've indicated, the city council has indicated that, yes, we are interested, but then now comes the job of finding where the rest of that money is going to come from. And as we go through that process, we're always looking for citizens who would like to support that effort. I know the walking paths that exist are 3 foot wide in asphalt, which don't meet a lot of more modern requirements. Those themselves are could use some refinishing, but rather than refinishing them, we're looking to replace them with concrete. And especially now that we have so much more use of Swan City in the winter with the Rotary Lights, which is a fabulous recent development, that we really see the need for safe, wider, sturdier walkways. So some of the walkways that we're talking about would be replacements, but some of them would be new, giving better access to some areas that currently the only way to access them is to walk over grass.
And pooling water and ice forming that is a problem as well, as I understand.
Exactly. And we're also looking, part of the project is also to continue to update the band shell and the spring house. I know the spring house did receive a new roof, but we're still looking for both a contractor and money to help make sure that the spring house can be fixed. There's some rotting wood and some other areas that need attention. And then we would like to update the band shell to make it a little more modern and a little more accessible, and a wonderful venue to continue again. It's been a focus of entertainment in the park for many decades, and we would like to see that go forward.
I'm afraid we're out of time. Bobby Market, has been an hour well spent. Thanks for being with us.
Yeah, my pleasure.
And thank you for joining us on Community Comments on 95.3 WBEV, powered by Daily Dot.